Hello. The public library in the Bemovo district would like to invite you for a second trip to the Narnia. C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. As you remember, previous chapter came to the end when the youngest of four kids, Lucy, after crossing the wardrobe, found herself very inquisitive and excited, standing in the middle of a wood at night time with snow under her feet and snowflakes in the air. She had left the door open to be able to get back. She knew that it is very silly to shut oneself into a wardrobe. Thanks to this also, there was still daylight. Among the trees, Lucy met a strange person who was only a little taller than herself and kept an open umbrella and several parcels. The upwards was like a man, but legs had like a goat's with hoofs. He had a pleasant face with a short beard, curly hair, and two horns, one on each side of his forehead. A red woolen muffler rounded his neck. He was a faun. He surprised much when he saw Lucy. "Goodness gracious me!" he exclaimed. Chapter 2. What Lucy found there. "Good evening," said Lucy. But the faun was so busy picking up its parcels that at first it did not reply. When it had finished, it made her a little bow. Good evening," said the faun. "Excuse me, I don't want to be inquisitive, but should I be right in thinking that you are a daughter of Eve?" "My name's Lucy," she said, not quite understanding him. "But you are, forgive me, you are what they call a girl," said the faun. "Of course, I'm a girl," said Lucy. "You are, in fact, human?" "Of course, I'm human," said Lucy, still a little puzzled. To be sure," said the faun. "How stupid of me. But I've never seen a son of Adam of a daughter of Eve. I am delighted, that is to say." And then it stopped as if it had been going to say something. It had not intended, but had remembered in time. "Delight, delight," it went on. "Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Tumnus." "I am very pleasant to meet you, Mr. Tumnus," said Lucy. "And may I ask, O Lucy, daughter of Eve," said Mr. Tumnus, "how you have come into Narnia?" "Narnia? What's that?" said Lucy. "This is the land of Narnia," said the faun, "where we are now. All that lies between a lamppost and the great castle of Ker Perivel, on the Eastern Sea. As you and you have come from the wild woods of the West. I got it through the wardrobe in the spare room," said Lucy. "Oh," said Mr. Tumnus in a rather melancholy voice. "If only I had worked harder at geography when I was a little faun, I should no doubt know all about those strange countries. It is too late now." "But they aren't countries at all," said Lucy, almost laughing. "It is only just back there, at least. I'm not sure. It is summer there." "Menaville," said Mr. Tumnus, "it is winter in Narnia, and has been for ever so long, and we shall both cut cold if we stand here talking in the snow. Daughter of Eve from the far land of Spur-Om, where eternal summer regains around the bright city of Wardrobe, how would it be if you came and had a tea with me? Thank you very much, Mr. Tumnus, said Lucy, but I was wondering whether I ought to be getting back. It's only just around the corner, said the Faun, and there'll be a roaring fire and a toast and sardines and cake. Well, it's very kind of you, said Lucy, but I shan't be able to stay long. If you will take my arm, daughter of Eve, said Mr. Tumnus, I shall be able to hold the umbrella over both of us. That's the way. Now, off we go. And so Lucy found herself walking through the wood, arm in arm with this strange creature, as if they had known one another all their lives. They had not gone far before they came to a place where the ground became rough and there were rocks all about and little hills up and little hills down. At the bottom of one small valley, Mr. Tumnus turned suddenly aside as if he were going to walk straight into an unusually large rock, but at last moment, Lucy found he was leading her into the entrance of a cave. As soon as they were inside, she found herself blinking in the light of a wood fire. Then Mr. Tumnus stopped and took a flaming piece of wood out of the fire with a neat little pair of tongs and lit a lamp. Now we shan't be long, he said, and immediately put a kettle on. Lucy thought she had never been in a nicer place. It was a little dry, clean cave of reddish stone, with a carpet on the floor and two little chairs. One for me and one for a friend, said Mr. Tumnus. And a table and a dresser and a mantelpiece over the fire, and above that a picture of an old faun with a great bird. In one corner there was a door which Lucy thought must lead to Mr. Tumnus' bedroom, and one wall was a shelf full of books. Lucy looked at this while he was setting out the tea things. They had titles like The Life and Letters of Silenus or Nymphs and Their Ways, or Men, Monks and Gamekeepers, A Study in Popular Legend, or Is Man a Myth? Now, daughter of Eve, said the faun. And really, it was a wonderful tea. There was a nice brown egg, lightly boiled, for each of them, and then sardines on toast, and then butter toast, and then toast with honey, and then a sugar-topped cake. And when Lucy was tired of eating, the faun began to talk. He had wonderful tales to tell of life in the forest. He told about the midnight dances and how the nymphs who lived in the wells and the triads who lived in the trees came out to dance with the fauns, about long hunting parties after the milk-white stag who could give you wishes if you cut him, about fasting and treasure-seeking with the white-red dwarfs in the deep mines and caverns far beneath the forest floor, and then about summer when the woods were green and old Silenus on his fat donkey would come to visit them, and sometimes Bacchus himself, and then the streams would run with wine instead of water, and the whole forest would give itself up to jollification for weeks on end. Not that it isn't always winter now, he added gloomily. Then, to cheer himself up, he took out from its case on the dresser a strange little flute that looked as if it were made of strong and began to play. And the tune he played made Lucy want to cry and laugh and dance and go to sleep at all the same time. I must have been hours later when she shook herself and said, "Oh, Mr. Tumnus, I'm sorry to stop you, and I do love that tune, but really I must go home. I only meant to stay for a few minutes." "It's no good, you know," said the faun, laying down the flute and shaking its head at very sorrowfully. "No good," said Lucy, jumping and feeling rather frightened. "What do you mean? I've got to go home at once. The others will be wondering what has happened to me." But a moment later she asked, "Mr. Tumnus, whatever is the matter?" For the faun, brown eyes had filled with tears, and then the tears began trickling down its cheeks, and soon they were running off the end of its nose, and at least it covered its face with its hands and began to howl. "Mr. Tumnus, Mr. Tumnus," said Lucy in a great distress. Don't. What is the matter? Aren't you well? Dear Mr. Tumnus, do tell me what is wrong." But the faun continues sobbing as if its heart would break. And even when Lucy went over and put her arms around him and lent him her handkerchief, he did not stop. He merrily took the handkerchief and kept on using it, wringing it out with both hands whenever it got too wet to be any more use, so that presently Lucy was standing in a damp patch. "Mr. Tumnus," bawled Lucy in his ear, shaking him, "do stop. Stop it at once. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, a great big faun like you. What on earth are you crying about?" "Oh, oh, oh," sobbed Mr. Tumnus. "I am crying because I'm such a bad faun." "I don't think you're a bad faun at all," said Lucy. "I think you are a very good faun. You are the nicest faun I've ever met." Oh, you wouldn't say that if you knew," replied Mr. Tumnus between his sobs. "No, I'm a bad faun. I don't suppose there ever was a worse faun since the beginning of the world." "But what have you done?" asked Lucy. "My old father now," said Mr. Tumnus. "That's his picture over the mantelpiece. He would never have done a thing like this." "A thing like what?" said Lucy. "Like I've done," said the faun. "Taken service under the White Witch. That's what I am. I am in the pay of the White Witch." "The White Witch? Who is she?" "Why, it is she that has got all Narnia under her thumb. It's she that makes it always winter and never Christmas. Think of that." "How awful," said Lucy. "But what does she pay for you for?" That's the worst of it, Mr. Tumnus said, with a deep groan. I'm a kidnapper for her. That's what I am. Look at me, daughter of Eve. Would you believe that I am the sort of fawn to meet a poor, innocent child in the wood, one that had never done me any harm, and pretend to be friendly with it, and invite it home to my cave, all for the sake of lulling it asleep, and then handing it over to the White Witch? No, said Lucy. I'm sure you wouldn't do anything of the sort. But I have, said Fawn. Well, said Lucy, rather slowly, for she wanted to be truthful and yet not to be too hard on him. Well, that was pretty bad. But you're so sorry for it that I'm sure you will never do it again. Daughter of Eve, don't you understand? Said the fawn. It isn't something I have done. I am doing it now. This is the very moment. What do you mean? Cried Lucy, turning very white. You are the child, said Tumnus. I had orders from the White Witch that if never I saw a son of Adam or a daughter of Eve in the wood, I was to catch them and hand them over to her. And you are the first I've ever met. And I've pretend to be your friend and ask you to the tea. And all the time I've been meaning to wait till you were asleep and then go and tell her. Oh, but you won't, Mr. Tumnus, said Lucy. You won't, will you? Indeed, you really mustn't. And if I don't, said he, beginning to cry, she's sure to find out. She'll have my tail cut off, and my horns sawn off, and my beard plucked out, and she'll wave her wand over my beautiful clav hoofs and turn them into horrid solid hoofs like wretched horse. And if she's extra and specially angry, she'll turn me into stone and I shall be only statue of a fawn in her horrible house until the four thrones and Ker Paravel are filled. The goodness knows when that will happen, or whether it will ever happen at all. I am very sorry, Mr. Tumnus, said Lucy, but please let me go home. Of course I will, said the fawn. Of course I've got to. I see that now. I hadn't known what humans were like before I met you. Of course I can't give you up to the witch. Not now that I know you. But you must be off at once. I'll see you back to the lamppost. I suppose you can find your own way from there back to Spare and Wardrobe. I am sure I can, said Lucy. We must go as quietly as we can, said Mr. Tumnus. The whole wood is full of her spies. Even some of the trees are on her side. They both got up and left the three things on the table. Mr. Tumnus once more put up his umbrella and gave Lucy his arm, and they went out into the snow. The journey back was not at all like the journey in the fawn's cave. They stole along as quickly as they could, without speaking a word, and Mr. Tumnus kept to the darkest places. Lucy was relieved when they reached the lamppost again. Do you know your way from here, daughter of Eve? Said Mr. Tumnus. Lucy looked very hard between the trees and could just see in the distance a patch of a light that looked like daylight. "Yes," she said, "I can see the wardrobe door." "Then be off home as quick as you can," said Fawn. "And can you ever forgive me for what I mean to do?" "Of course I can," said Lucy, shaking him heartily by the hand. "And I hope you won't get into dreadful trouble on my account." "Farewell, daughter of Eve," said he. "Perhaps I may kept the handkerchief." "Rather," said Lucy, and then ran towards the far-off patch of daylight as quickly as her legs would carry her. And presently, instead of rough branch brushing past her, she felt cold, and instead of crunching snow under her feet, she felt wooden board, and all at once she found herself jumping out of the wardrobe into the same empty room from which the whole adventure has started. She shut the wardrobe door tightly behind her and looked around, panting for breath. It was still raining, and she could hear the voices of the others in the passage. "I am here," she shouted. "I am here. I've come back. I'm all right." And that's all for today. This is the end of the chapter 2. And now, please think and answer the questions. What does it mean to be delighted? What is the name of land when Lucy found after going through the wardrobe? Where Lucy and Mr. Tumnus did eat the dinner? What was the instrument Mr. Tumnus played for Lucy? Now, let's answer together. To be delighted means to be fascinated, happy, cheerful, joyful, chuffed, little excited. After going through the wardrobe, Lucy found herself in a land called Narnia. Lucy and Mr. Tumnus ate the dinner in a very pleasant cave. Mr. Tumnus played for Lucy on a flute. And please, think in English. How do you imagine the wood where Lucy met the foam? Is it dark or nice? Green or brown or white, all covered with snow? The trees are tall or small, branchy or slender? Do you see there other plants besides trees? And can you see Lucy and the phone waving to you to say goodbye till next time in a week?